Question. You ever ride the subway? Not depending on the city. Experience can certainly vary. Some systems perform better than others. There's more route and schedule information available with some more than others. While they can all get you to where you need to go, the times can vary. Sounds a lot like investing in business relationships, doesn't it? My next guest thought so. He believed it so much, he's written a book based on this idea. His story is one of growing up in New York City, learning underground on the subway, then later above ground on Wall Street and in boardrooms. Shares his story and investing insight in his book, How to Ride the Subway, Getting Around on Wall Street and in Life, along with being Chief Strategy Officer and partner with Cerity Partners. He's a frequent CNBC contributor and a true subwaytologist, Jimmy Labenthal. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm great, Chris, and I really have to thank you for kindly introducing the book that way. I may have to record that and use that myself. That was so well done.
Well, you know, I actually read the book. I'm one of those odd people, so it's like, and to learn more about not just Jimmy's book, but his entire financial world, JimmyLabenthal.com, Cerity Partners, C-E-R-I-T-Y, CerityPartners.com. We have those links over at our webpage. I have seen investing compared to a lot of things, from cheese to animals to several points beyond that. What was your aha moment when you connected subways and everything you need for strategy down there with Wall Street and the strategies you need up there?
Great question, Chris. And, you know, the reason to write the book is that I frequently appear on TV as an investor and somebody who gives commentary on the markets. What I find is that when I speak, I have about 15 seconds to get my ideas out before the anchor cuts me off or my fellow contributors start chiming in. So I wanted to write a book so I could give a little more long format to how I invest. But just giving a book or just writing a book about investing would have been a little bit boring. And the simple truth is I absolutely love the subways, and I use the subway in New York City to get to the studio, which is the New York Stock Exchange, for the airing of the CNBC show that I'm on. And it was just while I was on the subway, I said, why don't I use my passion, my love for the subways, which goes back to age six in the 1970s, why don't I use that as a metaphor for investing to spice things up a little bit instead of just talking about dividend stocks or how the markets move, just put some metaphors from the subway in it. And I hope it works. I'm happy I did it.
Well, I think you should be, too, because it'll teach the novices, give a, I think, a more focused direction to those who are wandering. And for those who are like to think of themselves as experienced investors, it just reinforces a lot of basic ideas and even reminds us. Like, for example, you start off about knowing where you're going, because if you don't know where you're going to go, how do you know what you're going to need in order to get there? What are you going to invest in if you don't know where you want to go?
Well, that's exactly right. And again, the metaphor of the New York City subway system, at least in Manhattan, is that it's very oriented along north-south axes. So most of the subway lines come down either the west side or the east side or Midtown. There's very few cross Manhattan subway lines. There is the shuttle, but not much more than that. And so if you're trying to get from the upper west side to the upper east side, hey, guess what? The subway is not your spot. And in a similar way, if you're trying to make money and maybe you don't want to take risk, well, you know what? The equity market is not your speed. You should be in the bond market. That's a great example, Chris, of a metaphor that I use. You know, other metaphors that frame the chapters in the book include things like patience. The subway will arrive. It will get you where you need to go. So will the stock market. Perseverance. Probably my favorite, though, is serendipity. Of just being aware that the world does move in random collisions that tend to work out for your benefit. And so sometimes you can be on the subway and you can see a crazy sight. And I use in the book the example of an underground rail yard in Upper Manhattan that I came across one day. And it's just a way of exploring and finding new things, finding better things, which the stock market always gives you an opportunity to find really exciting, good new ways to make money.
And there are running themes you have going throughout your book as well, as far as you think you figured it out. You think this is going to work. Everything's going to be perfect. You know this is the thing. It's not always going to be that way, is it?
Listen, that's a great, that forms a chapter. I think the name of the chapter is Bad Things Happen. And I use as the entering anecdote to that chapter, when Superstorm Sandy hit New York City, I think it was 2013, it was just a perfect strike on the harbor of New York City, and it caused a storm surge where basically lower Manhattan was about 10 feet underwater. Well, you know, water flows to the lowest spot, and the lowest spot are the subway systems and the tunnels that go underneath the East River. So the subway system was inundated, it was flooded, it was basically out of service for a couple of days. And in some cases, there was maintenance that went on for years to repair the damage. Look, sometimes in the stock market, bad things happen. We can look at the last 18 months or so and see that we've had a very dramatic decline when the war with Iran started. We had a dramatic decline when the tariffs were announced on Liberation Day in 2025. But the subway system is still here. And the stock market is still a great place to make money. As we can see right now, Chris, as you and I are talking, we're at all-time highs in the stock market. It's just a matter of bearing down, having the grit to get through the bad times, which will inevitably happen. Can't be avoided.
Jimmy Labenthal in his book, How to Ride the Subway, Getting Along on Wall Street and in Life, jimmylabenthal.com. He's a partner, chief strategy officer with Cerity Partners, CerityPartners.com. Both links, of course, at our homepage, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Question on for the purpose of the novice or the newbie. You can hear of a stock, see your company, maybe you or someone else on CNBC talking about it. You punch in the ticker symbol in Google and stock rating. You will get inundated with information, and it could be confused. You could have 25 analysts saying, strong buy, get this now before it's too late. And there'll be one analyst saying, sell it now. How does the novice try to decipher things like that?
I think there's really two ways of doing this. You can hire a professional like myself to pick the stocks for you, or you can do what I do, which is what I recommend in the book, which is to really dive deep and become an expert in the stock that you're looking at. Specifically, what I mean by this is getting into the financial statements, looking at the footnotes to those financial statements, figuring out what you can find out that the rest of the world doesn't know. And again, with this analogy that goes throughout the book, I draw it back to the subway system. Many people ride the subway underneath the East River every day. There's probably 100,000 or more. And those tunnels are fabulous constructions of engineering. In fact, the first tunnel, subway tunnel under the East River, was longer than the Holland Tunnel under the Hudson River when it opened in the early 20th century. When the Holland Tunnel opened for vehicular traffic, the President of the United States called and inaugurated it. It was big fanfare. All the newspapers talked about it. Nobody talked about the subway tunnel that was created years earlier, and that was longer, and still to this day, as I said, transports over 100,000 people through it. That, what I'm describing there, yeah, it may be a little bit geeky, but that's the sort of expertise, that's the sort of level of knowledge that if you want to be a stock picker, you really should do. You should get into those financial statements, and not just for the company you're looking at, but its competitors, maybe even its suppliers or customers. So that's my advice to the novice, is get your hands dirty, really become an expert in it.
And you certainly, there's enough material by which you can, everyone can do that, and it's a learning experience to be sure, but it's for your benefit to indeed learn valid information. I want to wrap up with this idea. You mentioned here you certainly make yourself, show yourself to be a proponent of it throughout your book. Long-term, holding long-term. I said one time to a friend of mine, are you a long-term holder? I said, yeah, I hold a stock for up to 2 weeks sometimes. I mean, especially if it's a dividend stock, why would you be anything else but a long-term holder?
Well, to each their own. I love the subways. Some people think the subways are dirty and smelly and they don't want to go in them. That's fine. Those people can be traders. But the beauty about long-term investing is if you just stick with the stock market, and in particular stick with high-quality stocks, the names you know, the best companies in each industry, you can feel very comfortable that they will get you through thick and thin. Now, there's going to be times like we're in right now where the stock market's been rallying for 4 years and everything seems easy. But being in those quality stocks, even through the downturn, is the way that you can actually make money coming on the other side of a downturn when those companies thrive as their competitors sometimes have been hobbled by the tough business conditions of, say, a recession. So for me, the biggest thing, bar none, is to stay in the market for as long as you can, and I mean years and years, decades. I think, Chris, quite often about what is the biggest value that I add to my clients, and it is, frankly, holding their hands when the stock market looks a little tricky, like we were just talking about last year, Liberation Day, or this year with the war in Iran, and just reminding them that we've made money over the decades and we're likely to do so in the decades to come.
Yeah, without a doubt, a quality stock is a quality stock even in a down period, and those down periods last a lot shorter when it is indeed that quality stock. This is a great book for investors of all levels, as well as if you want some guidance for life in general, because what Jimmy writes about can certainly be expanded into whatever your specific career is, whatever your business relationships are. You'll find it very quickly to understand as well. How to Ride the Subway, Getting Around on Wall Street and in Life. Learn more about Jamie Labenthal at jamielabenthal.com. He's also Chief Strategy Officer, partner with Cerity Partners, Cerity, C-E-R-I-T-Y, partners.com. Both those links at our homepage. Jimmy, thank you for an education and a fun ride through the subways, no pun intended, and the history, because you make it understandable and everyone can appreciate the ideas that you're communicating and benefit from them. Thanks for being here today.
Chris, I really thank you. You've been such a gracious host, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to dive a little deeper into this book with you. I really appreciate it.